I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Amen.
I want
How do you want to see him then? See him, don't you?
Amen.
Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Good to be back with you. We had a good time. Didn't get much on the hunting side of it, but we had a good time sitting around, and every one of us came back with sore bottoms because we sat 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the evening, for 4 days and a half. So that'll wear you out, but. It was a good time. It was okay.
Right.
Amen. Just remember now, the Lord willing, Wade will be preaching the evening service. Be much in prayer for him. The Lord will be with us. Got a lot of requests to be given. And Sister, is it Jeanette, up at Brother Richard Wilson's, her husband passed away yesterday, I think it was. So remember the family there and all. And then remember to keep praying for Brother Hobart Arnold. We have him on the prayer list. But remember to keep praying for him about his eyesight. They're going to start putting some shots into his eye to see it and get that, if it'll help him. So just remember that. And also, Brother Richard Wilson now will be having some work done on his prostate, having it shaved on, I guess, or what you call it, shaving it on Friday. So remember that. Keep him in your prayers. The Lord will bless. All right, Brother Hal Thomas had to have some stents placed in his heart and some other work done in it, but he's doing fine, so, you know, just keep praying for him. I think that's about all of the ones that we remember, but just let the Lord have his way. All right. John 3, be very familiar scripture with everybody, and we will be speaking on this for two or three services. I don't know exactly how much that will go. But we're going to try to just do more preaching if we can on a lot of it than to do as much as we call it teaching and try to get a point across because, you know, it was laid a burden on Wade's heart to get a list of prayers, you know, people put on the prayer list for salvation. And, you know, there's a lot placed on there. And then, you know, the families, and if you want your family put on there, you want your children, husband, wife, etc., whatever, father, mother, placed on that list, then do it, and he will have a list, and then that way you can just, you don't have to have the list, you can always do the way I do, I just say, Lord, you remember the list. Well, he can't forget the list, so we don't have to worry about calling all the names, but, you know, just pray that the Lord would do that. So I thought, well, it'd just be a good time to, I had announced maybe that I would be speaking on some like doctrinal issues of the message, why I don't agree with them, what I do believe, etc. And but we'll get to that. But we'll take two or three services, maybe a couple on this about what is the new birth. You know, some of you are concerned whether or not you have the new birth, and that's wonderful.
Sure. Amen.
I think that's a great thing, is to be, because those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So I believe that. So you just listen, and if you're doing it, and I know what Satan generally does, about the time I announce something ahead that's going to be helpful here, then a lot of you go somewhere else to church for services or whatever you do, and you generally miss it. But please listen to the tape, because we're going to take this opportunity to speak on what is the new birth, okay? John 3. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we ask you to just bless us with your presence now that this day. Forgive our sins, because we want to be covered by the blood. And just keep us and bless each and every one, all of these that the names were called, the ones that were requested to prayer, that you'll be with each one. This one that's lost her husband, just be a comfort unto her, Lord, and be with Brother Arnold there about his eye, Lord, and restore it back unto him. And these all the requests that were given. Thank you for being with Brother Hal, Lord, that he didn't have to have the major surgery that they were wondering about, but yet we know you come on the scene and take care of all things. We love you and we thank you. And we ask you to just come now and speak to our hearts as we talk about you in Jesus' name. Amen. John 3, very familiar scripture with all of us. Right? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher that really is the teacher. He was the king teacher. He was the great of all of them. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. What a testimony. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, Can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I emphasize and always do, because Brother Branham said that actually Nicodemus, and I believe it's Gamaliel, isn't it, that he said would be given eternal life because of their stand. Well, you notice Nicodemus here, he said, now we know, we, not just I. And he was called, and if you look in the original there, you'll see that it says, the teacher. Down in verse 10, where he repeats it, thou art a teacher. The original says, the teacher. In other words, he was the top man. Everybody wanted to go to him. He would be the top college professor today, or whatever you would want to call it. And but everybody wanted to listen to him. And he said, we know that no man can do the things that you're doing except God be with him. So we're just concerned about it. I'd like to sit down and talk with you, in other words. All right, first thing he said though to him, he said, Nicodemus, he bragged about his ranking and told him all the things. But he said, you must be born again. Well, to a man that was highly educated, and I'm talking about Bible educated, I'm talking about worldly knowledge of everything, he knew what the scroll said. He knew what the things were said. He must have been an honest man in his heart, because he wasn't like the other, Pharisees, Sadducees that was wanting to kill Jesus because of who he was and what he was doing. He gave him a great honor. All right. And doing that, but Jesus turned to him and he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. All right. We good Baptists, that's where it came from. So there's a reason I say that. We say, poor old Nicodemus, all he had to do was believe. Well, that's a good point. But he must have been a pretty good believer. Because he put his life on the line. He put his job on the line. He put everything on the line to get to Jesus and talk to him. All right. But still, I used to try to discuss it with him right before I left the Baptist. But really, about the time I began to hear about the message, I could read the scriptures. They don't say he that believes. It said he that believeth. And I'd question that point with them. Well, why does it say believeth? Because that means continue on. Amen. And you know how the Baptists believe it. If you just believe it, that's it. That's, you're going to be there. Well, why is it that a lot are not going to be there? But, that's their business, not ours. But what I want to do is just talk to you, as I said, about salvation. And to you that are not really set in the basis of your salvation, of maybe believing you're born again, then I ask you to please just listen and then write down comments, questions, etc., something that I need to emphasize a little more, and, you know, we'll try to do that. And, you know, most everybody says, well, what do you mean, Brother Dale? I'm born again. I'm in the message. Well, Nicodemus was in the message. Right? He was in the message of the day. And he saw new light, and he stepped up into the light, you know, enough to talk about it. So he must have been a pretty good believer. But still, that when it was said to him, his natural man could not comprehend. Of all his education and his abilities and God working with him and doing with him and all like that, he said, you mean I've got to go back to my mother's womb? He just couldn't comprehend. And Jesus tried to explain it to him, but yet how could he explain unto him the thing that he had come to make a way to do and to make manifest, when they believe that staying in that letter of the law, that was what saved them? The great apostle Paul, you know, we emphasize that a lot. He said, you know, concerning the law, blameless. But he said, I found what I thought was life. He said, I found it to be death. And to him, see, it was keeping the law to the letter. And that's what Nicodemus, that's all he could comprehend, was keeping the letter of the law, doing what God says, being good. Now, I've always emphasized to you, because I like to do that, that, you know, these are not just common, ordinary people you're talking about that just, well, I go to church every once in a while when I want to, and I believe in God. Oh, yeah, great Jehovah. These were people that almost born, raised, and spent their entire life in the tabernacle, living for God. But yet, how can you understand the new birth? So mankind has spent thousands of years now, two almost, or a little over, trying to explain what Jesus was talking about. And you find in the message of the hour, moving on up to where we're at, that you find the good old Baptists, and they say, well, I believe the message. You know, I believe everything the prophet said. And you find good old Methodists, you know, that say, well, I was sanctified, and my life's changed, and things are different now. You know, then you find good Pentecostals that, you know, well, I've spoken tongues, I've shouted, I've done all the things, and I know I'm saved. Well, I wonder what would happen if the Lord Jesus sat down and talked with you and I personally and brought us to a consciousness, now get the situation, a consciousness of our own lives and our own being and our own doings, and bring us to that position like he did Nicodemus, that was sitting there that understood all of the scriptures. And say, you must be born again. I wonder what we would quote back to him. As I said, I shouted, I believed, I spoke in tongues, I believed the message. What would be our answers back to the Lord Jesus in that situation? And then we come up to the super-duper faith type of people that you run into, that they'll actually even say it to you, you can't tell me I ain't saved. Right? And then they'll give you some reason for that. You know, I done this, didn't do that, or I do that, or whatever. They'll bring a reasoning into it to try to prove that they are born again. Well, I don't believe you have to prove you're born again. I never have tried to preach or believe that you had to prove your salvation. I believe your salvation will prove you. You know, I think it'll make manifest in our lives and will prove us to be what we are unto to that point. But now, just think about it. What is the new birth? All right, now we're up in this age where that we're supposed to be claiming the prophet's message, you know, to believe what he says. And we're in the age now that there was a time that, like the prophet would say, that in the days of Luther, to just believe God, you were saved. He said then it moved on to deeper depths to where that it would come through the Methodist period of sanctification. And he's called that the new birth of their ages and times, which it was. All right. And then he'd come to the Pentecostals. And he'd say, now, that was good. But he'd say it like this. He said, a lot of people believed and had the Holy Ghost. He said, a lot of people believed and didn't have it. He said, a lot of people shouted and had the Holy Ghost. He said, a lot of people shouted and didn't have it. He said, a lot of people spoke in tongues and gifts and had the Holy Ghost, and a lot of them didn't have it. All right? Now, my point has always been to say, why? Why didn't they believe it? When even the Bible says that Jesus was seen of as many as 500 brethren after his resurrection. Seen after he raised. Witnessed him as to be the Messiah that raised. Right. But yet, when it came to the upper room experience, there was only 120. What happened to the 380? See, my point is to try to get across something that, you know, to get us away from what we're looking at as our salvation, to see if what we're looking at as our salvation is word-oriented or based upon the Bible, you know. All right. You say, well, I've seen visions, I've done this, I've done that. That's all wonderful. But gifts and callings are without repentance. You don't have to be a Christian to have gifts in your life. Gifts don't save you. All right? Going to church don't save you. Being good don't save you. All right? That is supposed to be an outward manifestation of what has happened on the inside of us. All right. Now, I've just finished the series there on Be Ye Therefore Perfect. And this is kind of just ties in with it. But we found in that you're not born again in your body. You're not born again in your spirit part of you, the memory, reason, conscious, affections, etc. You're born again in the center part of you, which is called the soul. All right. Or Brother Branham would say that sense, that has only one sense. It's either faith or doubt. It's not faith and doubt. It's either faith or doubt. Because you're either born again or not. Now, I don't want to get into the born again experience as much on this message. I want to just talk about justification. Because the prophet of God says in this day, and it's reading, I was bringing it down. See, it's not, and I'll emphasize that in a minute. We believe in three stages of grace, not three works. We'll read that in a minute. Now, it is not works. So it's not three works of grace. Now, you'll hear Brother Ryan even call it three works of grace. But then you'll hear him explain it. That it's not three works because none of it's works. So it's three stages or manifestations, he called it, of the same Holy Ghost. He said, the same Holy Ghost that justified the Lutheran, sanctified the Methodist, baptized the Pentecostal, that's 464, I'm pretty sure, of the seal book, is now setting, it's either that or 251. He said it's now setting in order the coming of the Lord. It's the same Holy Ghost. Justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism is the Holy Spirit. So now we want to stay with that point, see, and we'll read these in a minute. All right? But get my whole point I'm trying to get us to see. How many of you remember when you first repented of your sins? All right. Now, you can remember that you were going wrong and something happened. And the Bible says that the goodness of God is what leads us to repentance. All right. Now, we'll get back to this scripture in a minute, but remember Jesus said, you can't come to me unless my Father draws you. All right. Now, but make sure you understand, if you're concerned about your salvation, you know, you're concerned about it. You're not certain about it. You don't know. But you're wanting God to reveal something to you. Remember then that God must be calling you. All right? See, it's something working on you. Right? You remember when, you know, I've heard a lot of your testimonies, you know, that, you know, you have really no idea. A lot of times, Brother Dean's there, he went to church with his sister or somebody, had no thoughts about going for salvation. He's probably going to show off his suit or his car. And, you know, no point of trying to be saved. But then just something happens. All right. But I want to emphasize to you, see, you say, but how do I know if God is calling me? If there's something dealing with you, it certainly is not the devil. All right? So God is calling you. Now, many are called, but a few are chosen. All right? But see, many are called. In other words, take that's pulling upon you. So I told you I wanted to preach instead of maybe teach so much on it. Is take that's pulling upon your heart and count that to be God calling you. Count that to be the calling, you know, that God is calling you. He's speaking to you. All right. And then you can move from that, because the emphasis I want to make through the whole thing is one thing. The prophet of God said everything we get from God must come by faith. All right. Now let's don't make faith a great super duper. Wait till that on up into the new birth a little, okay? Just stay with me where I'm at. See? We say, well now, faith. Well, sometimes faith is just simply believing. Because the Bible said, I believe it's in Hebrews there, where it said that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. All right, now that's what I've been, you know, kind of doing while I was sitting on the deer stands and taking my iPod and just 2 a.m, 2 p.m, just listening to tapes and just having a good time doing that, because you're sitting in a box and it doesn't matter how much racket hardly you make, and you know. So, but then I just stop sometimes and just think. See, now that little statement that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. All right, now, let me show you, and I'm trying to get you to a mental thought. You know that history, you know what I mean by history is records and things like that. You know what I'm saying by history. You know that history can prove that Jesus Christ existed. They can prove that he lived. They can prove that he was crucified. So, I mean, you know, history can prove it. All right. Now, does that save history? You get me? See, I just sit there think, you know. Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Not that he was. The science can prove, or history can prove, that he did exist. Prove that he died. And even the records would go by to where that they probably wouldn't believe it a lot, but they still got to admit something happened to him that he raised. And then they got some more proof records that, you know, that something happened to them disciples, because they all claimed they believed him. And claimed they seen him after his resurrections and different things, you know. And then the proof of it was to coming on the day of Pentecost with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. But get what I'm saying now. See, to believe that he was, is one thing. That's good.
Amen.
That's a background.
Amen.
All right. We can depend upon that. But it's that won't save you. You got to believe that he is to be saved. Right now. Is present tense. Not past tense. Not 2 seconds ago. Is very present tense for eternity. All right. Now, in that then, keep the thought. It doesn't say he was. It's always he is. Nicodemus didn't go up and talk to some of the disciples after the death of the Lord Jesus and you know, discuss things with them. He was talking with the one that was there present. All right. See, now to be saved, then you're going to have to believe it that way. And all we get comes by faith. And I said, don't get that faith right now up into a super-duper revelation. See? Get it to the point of just simply what it starts out of being. Blasphemous names, the prophet said, when your mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation. All right. The faith then starts off by believing. We got to believe. And the main thing to believe is one thing. Now, we say, well, I believe he died. And I believe he died for mankind. But I just don't know whether he died for me or not. Well, what are you concerned about? Right? Why are you even thinking about it? Well, I'm thinking about it because something's dealing with me. All right? See, keep the message in mind now, what I'm trying to bring across. So then you say, well, something has been dealing with me. Well, would that not be God calling you? All right? So believe he's calling you. Now, to believe he's calling other people won't save you. You got to believe he's calling you. Well, if you're concerned and something's happening, a work of the Holy Spirit is within your life. To worry that you're being concerned about your life. See, that's why that Brother Branham was against, he wasn't against altar calls in giving them. He was against mankind's form of altar calls that they had developed. And I was a personal experience of that, being 18 years old before I was even converted into Baptist. And my sister, I've told you, she came to me in church, you know, trying to get me to come to the altar. In other words, totally embarrassed me. And everything in the world trying to get me to come to the altar. And what she said to me, I've told you blunt about it. She said, her husband had got killed in a car wreck. And she said, J.C. didn't have an opportunity to repent. But you do. Well, I thought more of my brother-in-law's experience with God. Maybe not a salvation, but a man. Than I thought of her super-duper spiritual doings, and she told me, and I believe her, that she had actually been praying and reach out and feel God hold his legs and things. And I believe her. I wouldn't argue with her about it. But see, I knew what the man was that she was talking about. Well, she was trying to get me to do something. And Brother Branham says, don't do that. He said, don't go to him and say, you know, mama was saved, daddy was saved. You want to go to heaven, you got to go the way. Need to come to the altar. He said, you make them a twofold child. He said, because if they don't get saved that day, he says, it's a whole lot harder to get them to come back to the altar. So that's why I don't believe in doing things like that. You know, I have seen it in times when I stood here and spoke the word that people would be saved. Well, I don't have no problem with that. I mean, that one proves out. I don't have no problem with that. But you don't hear me telling it about everybody. All right. It's just when the Lord tells me that that'll take place. But now get it. What is justification then? We must believe in justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Today makes the new birth. Now, you do not have in this day now. We're here in this day. We're not back there. I explained Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. That was the message of the hour. That was the day of God dealing. And that was the new birth. And that was eternal life. But here today it's required that we come through water, blood, and spirit, justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, you do not have eternal life when you repent of your sins. Now, I know the message, so just hold on. You don't have eternal life when you're sanctified. And proving it, the disciples did not have it. They believed. They lived with the Lord Jesus and saw all of it. They were sanctified in St. John 17. But they did not have eternal life. All right. Now you say, but I've got a quote. Okay, hold on to that quote. It all fits together if you can bring it right. If you repent of your sins, that only chops off your past sins. That's justification. Brother Brown, I'm explaining it like you go out in the yard and you see a lice or something, you know. You reach down and you pick it up. You've got a purpose for it. But it's still nasty, dirty. He said that's where you justified it, because you picked it up. All right. So justification being a work of the Holy Spirit to call us, the goodness of God doing it, all right, then at that stage, see, you repent of your sins and you get baptized and all, you know, and you do the things because you're claiming that, well, I'm not a worldly person anymore, I'm a Christian and I need to live like a Christian. And, you know, that's what I've done. The reason I say I can preach on it, and it's odd that an old Baptist has to preach justification, sanctification, and baptism and the Holy Ghost to the people of this message, because they're supposed to be Pentecostals, and you can't get one of them hardly to preach on it. Now, you go listen and tell me if you can. Where do they ever preach anything about justification, sanctification? It's all this great stuff, you know, somewhere that's up in the mind-boggling situations and no simplicity of salvation. You know, all right, that's their business, not mine. But, now, justification, see, it chops off your past sins. And Brother Brown said, and I'll give it to you. If I don't get it, I'll run it off and give it to you this evening or after a while. But Brother Brown said, that has nothing to do with the future. He said, you just chopped off your sins. All right. You repented. You got condemned of what you were doing.
Right.
And you said, I'm sorry. And you asked God to forgive you. And he just wipes that slate clean. And there was that we were talking about being perfect. You know, when God wipes anything off, it's gone.
Right.
You'll never have to repent again for something you've repented of.
Right.
If it's genuine. Now, we do it because we're human. It's all right. But get what I'm saying. It's already wiped off. There is no sin there if God forgives you. So you get under conviction. You go to the altar and you say, well, Lord, forgive me. Or somewhere else, sitting out in the woods or doing something. You know, people tell about God speaking to them in many different ways. You don't have to be in church. But the point of it is, it's sometimes you've been in church to learn about God. Or somebody told you about God. You know, mama, daddy, uncle, aunt, whatever, somebody talk to you about God. Because we don't believe in just being it. See, God don't just drop down over in a Hottentot of Africa and give him the new birth. Because he hasn't heard the word.
Right.
All right, so then truly we understand that Jesus had to preach 3.5 years before mankind could receive the new birth.
Right.
All right, Brother Brown said it was hard for him, birth pains, to get those Pharisees to realize that they were sinners and lost to where he could die for their sins. Okay? But now true repentance is just to simply say, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry for the way I've been. Forgive me. All right? Now, there is a quote that I always love to put it right in here because it doesn't cross anything. It's perfectly right. Brother Branham says, if you die right there, sure you're saved. Now, do you need that quote? I can be sure to give it for you. He said, if you died right there when you repented, he said, surely you're saved. That's what people don't understand when Brother Branham will say saved, and then he'll say born again, and then he'll say Holy Ghost baptism, and he was doing just simply what I'm trying to do. He was starting off in you know, down here where we're at and just talking about the new birth. All right? And see, then if you die in that stage where you're truly repented, but that don't make you bride. Now hold on to that one. Because you do not have eternal life. You are confessing unto salvation. It's not eternal life to repent of your sins. It only cleanses out the just gets rid of what the person done, you know, in the soul, the being. And it does nothing to your future. As a matter of fact, justification doesn't even work a whole lot in your soul. Because that old unclean spirit is still in there. It's just taking like from here back and erasing it. All right? And putting it into the seal of forgetfulness. All right? And then, see, we must move on from that stage and believing it. And you start going to church, you start acting different, and all that's good. Because you ought to. God has done a wonderful thing. He has forgiven your sins. But see, that's where a lot of people stop. And they say, well, you know, I'm going to church. And all like that, I'm doing. What else you want me to do? I just want you to keep on going. And how many of you have heard me make this statement over the 40-something years as your pastor? I had rather go down to the end of all of this thing and God speak to me at that day and say, you had the baptism of the Holy Ghost 40 years ago. I said, well, okay. I've been seeking you and I'm glad of it. I'd heap rather do that than to go 40 years thinking I was saved because of something I done or didn't do or whatever, or believing the message or doing it. I hope what I've said to you has proved that point. Nicodemus believed the message. Nicodemus believed this was God. He gave witness to it. But none of that saved him. But I'd heap rather go through life seeking after God and find out I've already had it than to go through life and refusing to seek it and come up one day and find out I don't have it. The prophet of God explaining that one day about a person, he said when that person's dying, he said it came to a place, said her real soul came up. And she had been to church, taught Sunday school, done all kind of things, basically all of her life. But said her real soul come up before her and said she realized she was lost. See, now she had suppressed that point, and that old preacher was standing there, and you know what he said? Give her another hypo. You know, because she would turn around to the preacher saying, you told me a lie. You told me that I saved and I'm lost. He said, give her another hypo. Now, you know the preacher didn't say that. That was his point. The doctors was the ones doing it. I'm just making my point. But do you truly know that you're born again? And upon what basis do you place it? I saw God when I was 11 years old. That didn't save me. I can take you today and put an X where he was standing. Not as a human being person, but as a form that I saw him in. From that day on, I wanted to find that God, right? But that didn't save me. I searched for him, but I couldn't find him. Joined the church when I was 18 years old. Went to church dating my wife, because that was the only way I could go to church and get to go with her on Sunday afternoon, was to go to church and, you know, admit I didn't hear much the preacher said. But just honest. If you'll be that way, it'll help you too. But, you know, but one day, see, it becomes a reality. And you've heard me say this, that the deacons came to me, one or two of them one day, want to talk to me about salvation. I said, listen, I live a better life than your deacon board does. And they knew better than ask me what I meant, because I knew what they was doing. See, because that was what got in my way, was church people. For heaven help, don't let anybody get in your way. I had to come to realize one day that one thing about it, Brother Moldy used to tell me about it, I'd laugh, it was down here in Lula, and the policeman came up, and this little old boy was there, and he was sitting behind a post, you know, two before, and the policeman shined his light out there and said, what are you doing, son? He said, I'm hiding. There was more of him sticking out than there was behind the post. And that always dwelt with me, as to not wanting to be anything like that. I've always wanted to be right and sincere. You know, I don't have to put on anything. We go hunting, we do. We just go on in, we do our thing. And if anybody wants to talk about the Lord, we talk about it. If they don't, we just talk among ourselves and go on, you know, and don't worry about it, because I don't want to be something that I'm not. I don't want to be labeled as a hypocrite. You know, I want to be what I am all the time. But I'm just talking to you about salvation. Well, see, I come to realize one day that I couldn't hide behind something. It didn't matter whether it was a whole lot bigger than I was or a whole lot smaller, that I had to face myself. At 18 years old, and I faced myself, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Well, of course, in the Baptist, all you had to do was get up and confess. I kind of like what they told, the story about the little boys, three or four of them up there, you know, and each one of them was up, and they said, what's the Lord done for you? And he said, well, he saved my soul. And he got down to the end one of the little boys. What's the Lord done for you? He said, ain't done nothing yet. Well, at least he was honest. I mean, he was right. He just told it like it was. Well, you know, they thought a lot of me, and by the time I had been there from 58 to 63, I was an ordained deacon. So, you know, they must have thought a lot of me and everything. I was teaching adult Sunday school classes, the deacons, the elders, and the things when I left. But I'm not telling that. I'm just telling you they saw something, because I always wanted to know about God. I like what Brother Branham says, and if when, you know, I don't mean just one place, I love it. But he said, if you ever have one little touch of God, he said, you'll never be the same. You can't get away from it. You'll never be the same. You know, and then I done like I do now. I'm still seeking God. And I every day I say, Lord, save me. Just fill me with your love, you know, to the point that I can just be what you want me to be. You say, well, I thought you said you were saved a long time ago. And I was. But I believe in salvation that continually goes on. I believe in what Peter says, being born again by the incorruptible word. I believe that's what this prophet's message come to do, was to bring us to a place to where we could see salvation as it really was, and to be able to accept what God would give us and continually seek God. You know. And just walk on. But see, we get all tied up in our theologies. Forgive me. We get tied up in what we've been taught. And every church teaches something. You know, wherever you come from, you can say, well, I don't know much about you. You heard something because they taught it to you. And, you know, we think about them singing those little songs when we was a kid, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Blessed Trinity. And see, we were taught that. And all that dwells within our mentality. Well, remember, justification works through your mentality. That's where it's working now, through the mentality of an individual. All right. And then you come to that place, see, that you can finally say, well, I believe. You read the, I love to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And remember one time there, the disciple said something to the Lord Jesus. And, you know, it's probably about 3 years after he'd been talking to him. I guess it was a shock. He probably, do you now believe? You know, it took him all that time to come to that place that they really believed him the way he knew. Because he could look inside and see they were really believing. All right. But see, now let's get one thing straight, and then we'll just do a little bit on. And I want to just talk to you, but get. See, we don't believe in works. We believe in works following our salvation. Amen. Works is what I do for him. Salvation is what he done for me. So we believe in doing works. We believe in living right and doing right and acting right. And being condemned of the things. See, I remember that, and like I said, when I come into the message, a lot of you can't say the points I can because, you know, hey, I didn't care nothing about drinking. I didn't care nothing about smoking. You know, the Lord didn't have to deliver me from them things. And thank God he does deliver people, you know. But, I mean, I say, well, you know, what would Jesus do in this situation? And I always tried to think about it like that. Now, I know I made a lot of failures. Don't think you're looking at a goody two-shoes. Ever had that old saying as much? No, you're looking at a human being that's honest and just telling you like it is. All right? And, you know, I thank God for all those people that tried to help me down through there. It doesn't matter whether it's Methodist, Baptist, or whatever it is. Thank God for the people that tried to help you. Thank you, brother. And tried to do something for you. All right? You know, maybe God will give them. You ever thought about it? Maybe God might give them eternal life one day for what they was doing to try to help you. And there maybe you as lost as could be, but yet God knows all about it. So it's a great thing. Might be surprising we get there, you know, and things can happen. But now go on. We believe in works following our salvation, but we don't believe in works as our salvation. No. You get saved and then works follow. Amen. You know, you got to get the baby here. Amen. Right? Amen. You get the baby here, then the baby starts crying, speaking in tongues, and doing all kind of things. Huh? But get that to the point, see, because we believe in three stages of grace. Go ahead, brothers, and pull that first one up and let's read a little bit. But we don't believe in works. See, we call it three works of grace. Now, I want you to understand, you may read where Brother Branham will say, and there is one of these quotes in here that he actually is saying, manifestation stages, and in a minute he says works. See, three works. But the one thing I want you to think about, and I thought of this today as I began to pull a few quotes together, because I didn't have anything until this morning written down. I just doing a lot of thinking. But you see, we think of works, three works of grace. All right? You know what I loved about Brother Branham that made me think of it? And then how many of you heard me say this? How is it that Brother Dale checks a doctrine to see whether it's right or not? By my own new birth. Now, what are you going to check it by? Quotes? They can quote just as much as you can quote. And they'll quote the very quote to you that you quote. Because, man, them Trinitarians, we used to talk to them, you know. I did in the Baptist, because Baptist doctrine is one God. Of course, we didn't understand it. We called it God in three persons. But you talk about three gods, we'd tell you in a hurry. That was heathenism. But you know what? They read the same scriptures we read. You know, they read to prove three, we read to prove one. Well, so is it in the message of the hour. You know. But the quotes are right. It's just our understanding about those things. So remember, we don't believe in three works of grace, because works would mean something you had to do with it. I believe, what is Jonah 2:9? That salvation is of the Lord. Amen. And if justification is a work of the Holy Spirit, then it's certainly not a human being. Ezekiel, as Wade was on the other day, what? He takes out the old stony heart. He gives you a new spirit. Brother Run said, that's not the Holy Spirit. He said, then I put my spirit, Ezekiel said. He said, that's the baptism there now. Uh-huh. See, but, you know, we can get new desires, new thoughts, and new ways of doing it. And we'll cover some into sanctification and the things to get on to it. But look what the prophet is saying. You see, each one of those ages only taking a dip into the Holy Spirit. Justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism is the Holy Spirit. Now, never forget that quote. Justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Now, you see why Brother Branham will interlate works and why James and Paul and their talkings and things? Because God does a work on you. It's not works that saves us. But God does a work on you. You repent of your sins, you know what? He worked on you. He cleaned you up. All right? But never forget the statement Brother Brown is saying. Justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. He said, but the baptism is the Holy Spirit. All right? Emphasizing what it is. See, then the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not a work. It's a life.
Right.
Well, I want to try to back up because I want to stay on justification. All right. But look at the next one. See, it's not three works, it's three manifestations. And then there was justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not three different dispensations. Now listen to him. He's explaining it so carefully. Listen. Not three works of grace, but one work in three different manifestations. Same Holy Ghost was with Luther under justification, was under Wesley with sanctification. In the church now, in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Spirit. Not two Holy Spirits, the same Holy Spirit. As I said a minute ago, how do you check a doctrine? Just keep checking it by this. Three manifestations of grace. Three stages. Well, then there's three manifestations of God. Right? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But that's not three gods. That's three manifestations of the same God. The same God that called you to repentance is the same God that sanctifies you, the same God that fills you by the new birth, right? Okay, go on to the next book. I wanted to get these on here where you would, you know, and to other people especially. Now, Christian friend, a person cannot be born again until they have received the Holy Spirit. So you can't. You are not even converted until you receive the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying you're lost before you receive the Holy Ghost, because you're not. Now, that goes with that statement that he made a while ago, that he said, when you repent of your sins, he said, you're saved. He said, if you die right there, sure, you're going to heaven. But he didn't call you the bride. And he don't talk about you with eternal eyes, so you'd have to come up in a foolish virgin class. Right? So now watch, he's doing the same thing. You're not even converted until you receive the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying you're lost because before you receive the Holy Ghost, because you're not. There is three. There is one work of grace, only one work of grace. That's the Holy Spirit. And it's made in three manifestations, just like there's one God made in three manifestations. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, only one. Now there is the three works. See? Now there is the three works of grace. You quote that out of there and cut him, and you can make him say what you want him to say. See? But he's just got to explain it, that it's not works. And there's not three works. And then when he makes a statement of three works of grace, but there's three manifestations. See, he just didn't go in with the but, you know, or the before, or whatever, putting it in there. All right? There's a manifestation of justification by faith. A man believes God, say, yes, sir, I believe that. I believe it's the true God, he said. All right? Now, so it's not three works. It's three manifestations of the same Holy Spirit. The God that brought you to repentance is the God that filled your soul by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? So it's not three works. It's three stages or three manifestations. Because it's not three gods. See, there's three manifestations of God. So right now he's tying it all together. That's how I check any doctrine that comes along. Just think, just sit there and think. That don't fit what God done in my soul.
Right. Right.
Oh, you always was this and you always was that and you don't need salvation. You know what the people in the message are saying? You don't need it because you always was eternal. Huh? Then the same prophet said you got to come to the altar to receive eternal life. The same one will tell you about three different ways that he's born again if you listen to the message. One of them's in the woodshed, one of them is running down the railroad track. I don't know what happened. I just know I believe he got born again, don't you?
Yeah.
No. But you just listen to the message a lot and you'll hear a lot of statements that seem to be contrary one to the other. You know, he'll tell you he was over here when he was really over here. He's just a human being. He's a, all right. But now watch. So where's our salvation in three stages? Go ahead to, he done got it up. Number four. So now notice what he's saying. I just highlighted this a tad, but here's to those who do not have the Holy Spirit. Born again, as the scripture speaks of being born again. If the natural birth requires, now that's what somebody asked him a question. If the natural birth requires water, blood, and the Spirit, does not the spiritual birth require all these stages of grace before the person is truly born again? Absolutely. I just explained that this morning, the same on the same thing. You've got to have all stages. You're begotten of the Spirit, just like a baby's begotten into the womb of a mother, but not born until they receive the Holy Ghost. That's right. In other words, a baby's not got life until it comes in, and you don't have the new birth until you receive the Holy Ghost, right?
Right.
You're born again, then you, so you're not... You're born then. You're not converted. You're in the process of being converted until that time. See? Like a baby begotten in the womb of a mother. You know, the other day we were out there in Alabama and got the word that Brother Joe's going to be an uncle. He's certainly not going to be an aunt. They found out she's going to have a boy. Okay, everybody got it. I just use the stage of an uncle, you know, because that's what I told my wife. And then when I said I was real good, I found out I was an uncle. You know, next door neighbor has nothing to do with it. I'm just making a point, okay? Joe's going to, he's the daddy of the baby, is going to be a little boy. Has everybody got it? So it made him an uncle, not an aunt. All right? Yeah, get all of it together. But listen, see, three manifestations. But that baby in the womb of a mother, and that's why this prophet's message is so valuable. See, science says today that baby is alive, right? It's got a heartbeat, it's got all of the things. It can cry, it can do everything. But thank God for a prophet. It'll tell us that baby is not alive. It's not a living soul until it's born from its mother and receives the breath of life. You are not a living soul until you receive the breath of eternal life. Right? That's what the scripture is talking about. You become a living soul. Adam become a living soul. God gave him eternal life. But are you following me? All right. Three stages of grace. All right, look at the next one, number five. We got just a little bit of future home, but I'd ask you, at least by Wednesday, for you to click over to about page 14, 15 of the future home, read it, listen to the tape, and listen to Brother Branham explaining it. And he's explaining the redemption of the world really as the point of his message. And the future home, etc., and where we're going and what's going to happen to the world. But he said, if you don't get nothing else, get the plan of salvation.
That's right. Amen.
He could tie it all together. So listen to what he says now, future home. And notice how God makes plain to us the plan of redemption. Oh, this just thrilled my soul when I saw it. How he makes plain to us now his plan of redemption. Now compare what we see with our own eyes. What God has done to redeem his world, he's done the same plan to redeem his people. For the unchangeable, God changes not in any of his plans or anything. Such a glorious thing. How he led us to himself, to a tabernacle in us by the three stages of grace. just like he's led the world in three stages to come to the world, as God will come to the world, what? After it's gone through three different stages of purification, that's exactly how he comes to us through the three stages of grace. I taught that at the beginning. I've never changed since. It's God's own word. Now, there's two statements in there. In the future home that he makes that identical statement. You know what they're saying now, that Brother Branham taught it one way, and now he's taught it another way. They taught, he said he taught the new birth, his justification, sanctification, and baptism with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, but now in the end time message, when they got the great revelation of what he was really saying, that now they believe he was just teaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know, as the new birth. Well, see, all of that can be tied up into man's ideas of thinking, and it confuses people. And that's what I said. Have you ever heard him preach on the new birth? I mean, I'm talking to you honest. I'm not being exalted or anything. I'm just asking you a question. You come from these other churches, but did your pastor ever tell you about what it was to be justified or sanctified or filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, I'm sorry to be too blunt. Maybe they don't understand it. It's why they don't talk about it. Oh, that's the old days and old doctrine and things. I still love it. I was sitting down there the other day, and I thought, what am I going to listen to? I went through the fifth seal, you know, sixth seal, questions and answers, and the seventh seal. I thought, what am I going to listen to? I just clicked that up on it. 53, that's a good one. Presuming. That was the message. I love to hear those old messages. I'm not in the doctrine of the message of the hour that claims that, you know, that you can't believe nothing before the seals. Heard that? You've got to get everything after the seals is broke. The Son of Man came to straighten Brother Branham out. I don't believe none of that. That's a garbage can to me, but all right. But do you see what I'm trying to get across? The new birth starts with justification. Just like a baby starts when it's conceived in the mother's womb. But it's not alive. You say, well, they can show them crying. That's all right, because that's all right. A dog, you look at a dog in there, it's doing the same thing. Monkey, horse, or whatever, it's doing the same thing. It's not a living soul. I'm not trying to straighten science out. Brother Branham wasn't trying to either. He was just telling it like it is. Then when the baby's born, or the dog's born, or the cat's born, or whatever, a life comes into the animal. Right? It becomes a living animal. But a human being, the life comes into the soul, and they become a living soul. All right? And that's what he's trying to explain to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you're a living soul, right? See, we just read what little bit we read, and we think that was all it said. You think that Jesus turned around there, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He gets up and walks out. They probably sat for hours discussing this, but he couldn't comprehend it. And surely, like Jesus would say, but Nicodemus, you're a product of your mother. You come through water. You come through blood. You come through life. See, we just read a little bit that was put into words for us to read. And Nicodemus said, well, I know what you're saying is right, but I can't understand it. Because you see, they missed the kingdom. They missed the thing that Jesus was speaking of, that the kingdom must come. And it must be within you. You know, you've heard that argued. Presbyterians argued it, right, Brother Dick? Whether it was in Jesus or it was in the people or just out here somewhere. You know, where is it? And Jesus said it's within. It was within him. But then he released it. And on the day of Pentecost, it came within the disciples. You say, well, what happened to them? They had been justified. They had been sanctified. I'm glad you thought of that. but they were not born again. They had repented of their sins, they'd got baptized, they'd done all the things, and they'd got sanctified. The unclean spirit had went out of them. But yet, they were not born again. Now you can do what you like, but Judas went through those stages too. Judas was there in the upper room washing, letting Jesus wash his feet, taking the bread, the communion. Right? But then it entered into his heart, because his heart was not born again. Truly, you can see then in Judas what happened. The unclean spirit that had been driven out came back and took up its abode. And he went out and turned the Lord Jesus over. Oh, they have stories now. They got all about the Judas movies. They got the things that Judas wasn't such a bad guy. I never have thrown off on him. He was a human being. He was a person. Oh, you say, yeah, but he was a son of perdition. Now explain that. Explain that. That's what I want, answers. I like answers to things. When was Judas a son of perdition? Well, he was born that. Well, so was you.
Amen.
Now you want to argue. No, I wouldn't. Bless God, Brother Dale, I don't like that if you're talking about me. Well, you get your feelings hurt. You know what it proves? That I was right. Because if not, you say amen.
Amen.
Because you realize where you come from.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. But you see, we'll just touch this a little bit and quit. Brother Branham there in the future home, he says, that does nothing to your future.
Right.
He said, just like it was with the world. He said, in the days of Noah, it was just washed off. Cleansed all the sin and all the garbage on it, and it come forth a brand new world. But it wasn't eternal. He said, that's what happens to you and I. He said, we see we're lost and we need to be saved, and we repent and we follow after, we get water baptized, and you know, we go on. We believe the message of the hour. Right. But we've got to go on from there. Because the disciples believed all of that and walked with the Lord Jesus. They had come to St. John 17. They had the unclean spirit driven out of them by the word of Jesus Christ. Oh, we preach sanctification. You quit smoking, you quit drinking, you quit chewing. Well, I didn't do it. Was I saved all the time? See, that's where God puts people in a place sometimes, that they can just blow it right back out in your lap and ask you a question. Was I saved the reason I didn't drink? No. I didn't like the looks of the stuff, and I didn't like what it done to people. Stunk to me. He said, oh, it's sweet to me. Yeah, you was on the other side, see, because something was done dealing with me. Maybe you didn't get your dealings till later on. I've told you about it. I'd go out in the world and do something wrong, come home and feel dirty. And even ask God to forgive me. I can just tell you my life. Yeah, but I didn't come. Well, I ain't saying yet you're not saved. If you got the new birth, you're saved. It don't matter what you was behind, that ain't got nothing to do with it. It's just God keeps some people maybe where they can tell it. Brother Brown said that. He wanted to drink. He tried to. He wanted to smoke. And God wouldn't let him. Come on, read the message. He kept him from doing them things. To where he'd have a witness. Well, maybe he kept me a little bit down through there, and I ain't say I was dirty enough. Guilty of the least is guilty of the whole. but it's just to where somebody can talk. Say, so you claim that's your salvation. Well, I must have had it before you ever thought about it, because I didn't do it. But get what I'm saying. Justification. God convicts you of your life. You go to the altar, wherever, you know, it doesn't matter, out in the woods, out doing things. You can be working. God can speak to you. You can do all. Brother Tatum, I remember him telling about sitting out under the, sitting kind of along on the fence row or something there at his house. And he said, this is like rainwater just coming down on him, you know. Well, I believe in that. You know, everybody don't have the same experience. Now, let me correct that order of saying it. We all have the same experience, but we have different manifestations, all right? Just no more than it's three works. It's one work with three manifestations. It's the same Holy Spirit that called you. Brother Charlie Cox, Brother Brown said, Brother Charlie said, if God that called you and told you to turn around, he said he'll call you one day and tell you to come up. Same God that called you is the same God's going to change you. But do you know what I'm talking about, the new birth? Have you ever just really got under conviction and said, Lord, I'm sorry? Then that's why Brother Branham will say to a Christian, then sin becomes dirty. Now, he didn't say you weren't going to be tempted. You know? He said it becomes dirty. Why? Because there's something about you that's, even that repentance, you don't want to go back and do that again. You want to go on with God. And you try to find somebody, like Brother Brandon said, he, the Lord was dealing with him, and he said he went down to this church. That wasn't it. So he went down to another one. Said it went to, he even talked about going to the Catholic. Because they was Catholics when they started. He said he didn't have it. Well, you know what? He couldn't find a church that spirit of Elijah, not as a new birth, but that anointing upon him would not let him be satisfied in any of those churches. Because it would tell him the truth about it. And he'd go to looking. You ever heard him tell about it? He said, but Lord, I know I can't pray. He said, so I'll just write you a letter. They wrote him a letter, stuck it up on a tree, hoping he'd come by and read it. You heard the story about the person that couldn't even do nothing, but they just wrote down the ABCs, stuck it on a tree somewhere or something. They said, Lord, you just put the words. You know, all there, you just put them together. Now, I'm talking about a God that's real. Not just a fugitive of your imagination or a good thought or a good reasonings or whatever. All of those are well and good. But have you really ever been just fully convicted? Brother Dick was telling about somebody who was a lady that, and they asked her about it, and she said, well, I'm born in church. I thought I was saved. You know, just born here. Well, you know, that's, you can do that. I was in the message. I mean, I cut my teeth on the message pews, you know. But that don't save you. Brother Brennan would even say, said, you women don't think because you've got long hair and long dresses that you're going to heaven? See? But then people turn around and say, yeah, but you look like it. You know, well, I don't have nothing to do with it. Come on. We'll take up sanctification next time and we'll just talk about it. That's what I said out there, and I thought, Lord, just give me some way to help those people that are not certain about where they stand, to where they can do what they need to do. All right. Now, then do what I'm saying. Just simply sitting right there in your seat, if you're here or if you're on tape listening or whatever, just simply say, Lord, I believe something's been dealing with me or I wouldn't be concerned. So, Lord, forgive me of my sins. But then you've got to believe that he does. That's the point. You got to believe. You say, well, I don't know whether he heard me or not. He hears, you know, the prophet's word. He hears every gnat that move. He said he hears everything. Don't you think he'd hear you?
Amen.
And Lord, I'm sorry. And remember, it's his goodness that calls you to repentance. It's his goodness that calls you. He's calling. You can't come unless he's calling you. But you, how long you want to stay? The word of prophet would say it like this. That's why I said I don't want to teach. I want to try to preach. But he said, every person in the world. Why was a Hottentot in Africa? And I just use that point. I'm not against, we'll say, India. You know, all right? Why are those people worshiping idols? You don't ever think about it. Why are they worshiping totem poles? Because your prophet said there's a soul in a human being that is crying out for its God. And he said they try to answer it in every way. He said, no, they're just a chosen seed. The only one cries out. See, you get into all that, you done lost a new birth. Get born again. And you won't be worried about the seed. The truth will come to you. Because he's honor bound to bring you the truth if you're born again. Think on these things. Let's stand.
What we got? 124 in Spiral Book.
124. Anybody has a need? But just do what I say. Just say, well, Lord, I'm sorry.
I am weak, but thou art strong.
If you want us to pray with you, we're glad for you to come to the altar. Pray with you about it. Be satisfied, Lord, as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk. That's your desire. Then why would you be calling out? Why would you have a desire? If it's not something calling. But I just thought it something about me wanting to do good. Well, what makes you want to do good? Surely not the devil.
Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be. And through this world.
Our brother needs a physical touch for his body, but he wants a spiritual touch too. He said what he needed was a touch for God to help him in the body, but really what he needed was a 20-year-old body. Well, you know, that'd take care of everything, wouldn't it? All right. So then, all right. All right, let's just believe it. We're going to give him a prayer cloth, and we're going to believe that God's going to do it. If not, why ask him? You have not because you what? You ask not. Ask that you may receive. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our brothers call for the elders of the church to pray over him. Lord, he's had a lot of this trouble with his heart. It's been out of rhythm now for years, Lord, and make him weak and his feet bothering him and all of that because the blood can't pump. But Lord Jesus, we just ask you to reach down and touch our brother. We were listening there the other day when that prophet said that little girl with leukemia said had a brand new bloodstream. So you just give our brother what he's asking for. Touch his body. Make it whole. We believe that you can turn him right back young to 20 years old because we believe you. So we're not asking for whatever we want. We're asking for what you want. And your desire. And your way. And we lay hands on the sick. The Bible says they shall recover. Ask anything, it'll be given unto them. Even if they've committed sin, it'll be forgiven. Because you'll bring it to their understanding. And Lord, we love you and we thank you. We believe it now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Just go believe it and see. Anybody else? Anybody else who just needs something? With me, my sing it unto him and think about it. Just. Is that your desire? Then let that same desire that started you towards salvation. That's all I'm talking about. That same God that leads you through justification. Leads you through sanctification. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. And would just lead us right on out to a change of the body and right on in a rapture. That's why the prophet, when he got over on the seventh seal, I've listened to it. He said, now, don't get all messed up when this comes up today. You know, talking about the seventh seal, because you're going to have to tell it personal. Then when he concludes, he says, now go on. With the same simple message. Right? Said he'll take care of it. With the same simple message. Because if you don't, you'll work yourself away from it. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Future home of a world and redemption of that. Justification, sanctification, the baptism. Who is this Melchizedek? Justification, sanctification. Baptism of the Holy Ghost and one true and living God. Marriage and divorce is justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's brought into a higher order. Everything just gets higher and higher. You've heard the prophet say, you don't leave your foundation now. This building's got one here. We don't want the foundation to crumble. Keep on going. Keep on believing. Something comes along and tells you you're not worthy. You know what I do when the devil tells me that I'm not worthy? I agree with him. Said, oh boy, you telling the truth. And I know I ain't worthy. But you're not telling me what God said. God says I'm perfect. Well, we can't be perfect. See, there goes that old thing trying to carry you away. Brother Branham said, ever born again believer, first seal. Ever born again believer, truly born again believer, is as perfect as Almighty God. Yeah, but I do too much wrong. God don't look at him. We just finished 18 sermons on it. I hope you listened. Let me say what he says. Spider. You're dismissed. Remember the service, 2 o'clock, wait to be preaching. Bless everybody, Father. Give us a dream. We go eat a natural meal. Come back to